If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Afternoon. afternoon to you all, princes and princesses of patriotism. Today's April 7th. It's Sunday. You know what that means. It's Soldiers of Patriotism time, and I'm glad that you soldiers are on board with Uncle Bing and I today. We've got a great show lined up. We've got a good step right up this afternoon. We've got Joe Carr stepping in to do the Tennessee Minute. We've got Andrew O'Brien. You folks are going to love this. Andrew is a vet. He's a SAM soldier who suffers with post-traumatic stress disorder. He'll be joining us this afternoon. Fortunately, God willing, he survived a suicide attempt, and it's his mission in life now to help other soldiers who suffer with PTSD. And you know that Uncle Bing are all about our brothers and sisters who have served, especially those who have served in combat and fought and suffered for those things so that we can enjoy the liberties that we enjoy in this great country of ours. Real quickly, I want to open up with a small prayer. Most holy and glorious Lord God, the great architect of the universe, the giver of all good gifts and graces, we give thanks for the democracy alive in our country and for the freedom to worship you. Help the elected government and all in positions of power who govern over us and the authority to govern with the authority to govern wisely and for the common good of all. Amen. Folks, I want to go ahead and get started, and then I'm going to pull in my brother. We had a big week here in Texas last week, and I wrote an editorial on it. You can find it on my blog, Michael's blog at WordPress.com, Michael B. blog at WordPress.com. Is that disease known as blue creep spreading into Texas? Oh, by the way, Patriots, it's about 7 minutes after the top of the hour. And that was mine and Uncle Bing's brother, our good friend from Tennessee, D-Rock Country. I dropped the link in the chat room. Folks that are listening, that are on the road listening on their mobile devices, go to drockcountry.com. I'm going to be showcasing a little bit of D-Rock today. He's a good friend of mine and a good friend of Bing's. Spoke with him this morning a little bit on Facebook, and he got me going, and I've just been pounding D-Rock in my ears all afternoon long. I'm going a little ADD, so let me just get going on this. Is that disease known as blue creep spreading into Texas? You know, folks, as a Freemason, I hold dear a particular line from one of our lectures, which teaches us that truth is a divine attribute and the foundation of every virtue. I also encompass the teachings of our working tools in my life, except for one, which I have to modify somewhat. That is the analogy of the 24-inch gauge. Whereas a portion of man's time should be for refreshment and sleep, I have to find a little time for that, but I also have to take that section of the 24-inch gauge and make time to fight for my country. And fight I shall. So it is with that in mind that I have seated myself to tell y'all about last Thursday's budget vote here in our 83rd Texas legislature. You know, Patriots, I'm somewhat between confused and downright pissed off. Was there some good that came out of our budget vote on Thursday evening? Perhaps, but it's hard to see. Did some good people put up a great fight? Yes, but very few. And most of them were our fantastic freshmen that we Tea Partiers got elected. In particular, I want to commend the Tarrant County Gang of Five, Matthew Krause, Giovanni Capriglione, Stephanie Click, Jonathan Strickland, and Craig Goldman, who stood the line down in Austin. But folks, one of the problems that we have is we have a failure to communicate, as Struther Martin so effectively said in Cool Hand Luke, as well as there's just not enough strong principled conservatives down in Austin. And Patriots, I fear it's the same all across the country. Coupled with that, here in Texas, Speaker Joe Strauss, Rhino, San Antonio, the influx of undocumented Democrats, a la AP, and the liberals from across the United States moving into Texas at about 1,000 families per week because of our conservative policies, which have made our state an economic dreamboat, a place where jobs are plentiful, the taxes are low, and in the midst of the last 5 years of Obama's destroying of America, and yes, even President Bush mishandling the economy with his neoconservative big government policies causing the economic downturn, it will only get worse. Allow me to reiterate, and I'm going to be a little forceful when I do this, so turn your speakers down. It's been conservative policy that has made Texas the boom state that it is, not the pro-socialist, pro-globalist, weak, feeble-minded, pansy-assed, UN, ass-kissing, anti-gun, pro-baby murder, anti-fossil fuel, liberal policy that has ruined this country, or the state of California for that matter. In a few short words, the policies that have seen the pussification of America were being overrun. We Republicans have won all of Texas's 29 statewide offices since 1994. This constitutes the longest streak of single-party domination in our country's history in any single state. Governor Perry is the longest-serving governor, and Mitt Romney won Texas overwhelmingly, beating President Obama by 4 percentage points more than Senator McCain in 2008. But folks, the demographics are shifting. Democrats are pushing to capitalize, perhaps making Texas a battleground state. One of the biggest players is President Obama, who has transformed his tax-exempt organization into a new PAC, dubbing it Organizing for Action, which, among other things, has launched an all-out war to put Texas in Democrat hands. Governor Perry has recently dismissed the idea as a pipe dream, saying it's more far-fetched than the University of Texas adopting the colors of arch-rival Texas A&M. However, Steve Monasteri, the chairman of our GOP here in Texas, has said, while he has said we are not despairing, far from it, he acknowledges the fight ahead. He says, but nor are we taking anything for granted. Here's what we Texas conservatives and grassroots activists across this great country must keep in mind. Texas has some of the country's lowest voter participation rates, especially among groups that typically vote Democrat. This leads Democrats to believe that Texas is low-hanging fruit, ripe for the picking. Therefore, it is up to us to fight harder, communicate better, and win the battle for these low-information and/or non-voters. Our state has about 13.6 million registered voters. It is estimated that there are nearly 3 million eligible but unregistered Hispanics and African Americans, and at least half that who are registered but don't vote. Hence, the Organizing for Action push to take control of the largest Republican-controlled state. And if we Republicans don't find a way to remake and repackage ourselves, this state could go from being bright red to blue really fast. And patriots, not to say that all of the other 49 great states are great, they are, but I'm just being truthful with you here. As goes Texas, so goes the United States. In other words, if Texas goes blue, it will be a long, long time before we see another Republican in the White House. As that great Texas or Texan Paul Harvey used to say, and now for the rest of the story. As your Texas correspondent, it falls on me to report that the Texas legislature had a rough evening on Thursday night. After roughly 12 hours of debate, there were no spending cuts. School vouchers were defeated in a remarkable blow to free market principles for education. Most notably, a vote. Patriots, it pains me to say this. A vote for Medicaid expansion, leaving Texas open to negotiations to expand Medicaid as part of the Federal Health Care Reform Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. This came as a surprise to many of we conservative activists here in Texas, especially after all the rhetoric coming out of Austin, the governor's mansion, and the Republicans in general here in the Lone Star State. As my buddy, that awesome activist here in Texas, Katrina Pearson, posted, today as the nation watched with shock and awe, as the rhetoric did not match the actions of Republicans who have gone from severely underperforming to flat-out failure, I have to concur with my friend. I took the liberty of contacting my state representative, a man I fought vigorously for in 2012. I have a straight pipeline to him, and he generally responds pretty quickly when I send a message to him. And we fought for him to oust the rhino, Barbara Nash, who fooled us in 2010, but that we fired in 2012, and we put Matthew Krause in here in HD 93. And after speaking to Representative Krause, many Republicans were caught off guard on this amendment that would allow potential expansion. But I've got a little bit of good news. The House was spurred to rethink their vote after an email from Texas Public Policy Foundation, which argued the amendment that State Representative Lon Burnham of my hometown here, a Democrat from Fort Worth, he must be from the South Side, opens the door to Medicaid expansion by creating a veneer of conservative policy. Fortunately, there was a vote to reconsider the measure, which won majority support along partisan lines, no doubt, prompting Burnham to pull the amendment before the House could hold a debate or an up-and-down vote on the content. I want to publicly thank my representative, Matthew Krause, who stood opposed on the first vote to this Medicaid expansion and was not fooled. I also want to commend many of our freshmen. And that's about it. None of the seasoned representatives, mostly our freshmen, that fought the good battle, which includes Matthew Krause, Steve Toth, Jonathan Strickland, Stephanie Click, Giovanni Capriglione, and Craig Goldman, just to name a few. There's about 11 in all total, but these are the five or six that I know personally. I also want to paraphrase Cactus Pryor, who used to say, it's time to put up a Texas is closed sign at all border roads into Texas and turn back anyone trying to come in. Folks, that's my editorial, and I'm sticking to it. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Let me bring in my brother here, Brother Bing. How's it going, my brother?
I'm fine there, brother. Michael, I tell you what, you got a lot of people here in Tennessee that are your friends, and there's a reason why me and you are doing the show, because Tennessee and Texas are almost tied at the hip, man.
Yes, sir.
I feel so sorry for what you're having to go through right there. It's a big power grab going on in that state, very big. And, it behooves everybody in Texas and in Tennessee to help because, like as you said, if Texas falls, so does the rest of the country. I truly believe that. But welcome to Soldiers of Patriotism. The call number is 718-305-7176. We're running a little bit overdue on a break, Michael, and just want to get this lead out of the way.
I wanted to showcase a little bit of D-Rock today, and then my editorial is a little long. Let's go ahead and knock these out real quick, brother, and then you can bring in. I guess we're going with our step right up first.
Yeah, Rob Comfort from Tampa, Florida area. Conservatives respect pioneers, and Brendan Ward has been with ConservativeNationRadio.org since the very beginning. Michelle Malkin, Laura Ingram, Ann Coulter, and Monica Crowley have nothing on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. That's the place to hear from real women who are real patriots. So let your voice be heard. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome, too. Okay, at their very own B&B breakfast, I guess. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Give us about 2 minutes, folks. Let us get back on track here. Thanks a lot. Hang on.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is
not yours. Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Vince Gill for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Real life's not a song. In less than it takes to play my latest hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
You got me with that, man. You got me with that. I love that. From D-Rock in the beginning, from your rant, I mean, and now we got a brother of mine. Let me just introduce this guy. I've known him for a long time, man. He does a lot of work in I guess it would be artistic type work. And if you ever saw what he does, he is very good at what he does. He also has Italian background. He's from Florida. The guy is pro-family, pro-nation. And Mr. Rob Comfort.
Yo.
Welcome to
Zip Bottom.
Zip
Bottom.
Zip
Bottom.
Take it away, Rob. This is a forum
right.
We have every week, Rob, and that we allow people, or not allow, we let people, we love, we encourage people to come up here and speak their mind. And go ahead, brother. Take it away. Get us started.
All right. Well, how y'all doing today, first off? How's everybody doing? I heard Mike's monologue there. That was great. Totally threw me off. It was awesome,
yep,
man. I listened to a lot of stuff out of Texas. I listened to a guy named Joe Pags out of there. Off of the 950, and he has a lot of access to your senators, Ted Poe and Kevin Brady. They're always on there, and I heard your district attorney there the other day. I can't think of his name, but
you mean our attorney general, Greg Abbott?
Attorney general, that's it, right? What's his name?
Greg Abbott. That's who I will be.
Greg
in fact,
Abbott.
In fact, I've already been contacted by them, and I am on board the General Abbott train. So y'all can be expecting. Y'all could be expecting to hear from General Abbott on this very show in the near future.
That's awesome, because that guy is great, man. He is on target, and he is down for the struggle. They were talking about he was named third most popular attorney general in the United States. So that's pretty good.
He's a great fighter, Rob. But thanks. Go ahead, buddy.
What I want to talk about is, and what I've been ranting about for the – actually, I get off and on subjects and – kind of got off of this stuff after the election because I was so disheartened. I just let it all go. But right after Obama was reelected, first thing I did was I went down and bought an AK-47, paid $550 for it. This was before all the Sandy Hook stuff and all that. And I had people saying, well, you know, what should we do? Should we all go buy guns now? What do you think he's going to, you know, go after the guns? And I said, I've been saying for 4 damn years this guy's going to go after the guns. They've done it once before. They're going to do it again. Because they have to disarm us if they want to own us. It's that simple. If we're armed, they're scared. So, you know, I got laughed at and called names. And then after the Sandy Hook thing happened, we went through a little time there. And now my gun that I paid $550 for is now worth double. And, you know, I have these same people that come up to me and ask me about this stuff, you know, and talk to me about it now that were making fun of me before, saying, well, what can we do? One of these guys is from Connecticut. now he's in the blogs ranting and raving about what his state's doing to his gun rights. And you know, I'd like to know how we can have a better conversation about this. You know what I'm saying? Because we all are kind of on the same page. I mean, we all know that, you know, the Second Amendment is a right. It's a right. It can't be given up. It can't be altered. And I'd like to know how we can have a conversation, you know, to make so we can talk to our neighbors about it. You know what I'm saying? And friends and family and not get into arguments about and over, you know, pissing contests about what types of guns we should own and stuff like that. What type of ammo? I think it all should be allowed, and I don't think it should be infringed at all, in any way.
No, I mean, a lot of times, Robert, we're speaking to the choir, and you know, we all know that, you know, but the choir actually goes out and they sing, and they sing to people, and they sit there and say, "Hey, you got a great voice," or you know, and I like the message that you're preaching, and they come back and they invite their friends and they bring their friends. It's just like church, it's like anything else. And, you know, like what you said, you know, there's so many different parts. You can order a receiver for an AR-15, and there's no difference that'll go up in price. But there's no difference between an AR-15 and a regular semi-automatic. There's no difference. And that is what 95% of the guns out there are.
I know what you're saying. You know, during the last – I remember the last assault weapons ban back in, what was it, 94? We did it. And at that time, down here in Florida, we had a governor, Lawton Childs. You probably remember him, Walking Lawton.
Oh, yeah, and Walking Lawton.
He had his turkey shooter was a Mini 14. Well, that – and, I went out and actually got – I had two Colt AR-15s. I sold them both after they banned them and actually doubled my money on those. But, you know, I went and bought – because I wanted a 223 and I still had some ammo. I went and bought a Mini 14, and I still have it. It's a ranch style. I figured if the governor's got one, then I should be safe, right? That Mini 14 that was allowed back during the last ban is one of the ones they want to ban now. It's ridiculous. And it's and like you said, it's just a hunting rifle. That's all it is. You put a larger magazine in it and you can fire more rounds and you know, that, I guess that's what makes it dangerous. But you know, what my main thing is talking to people. It's like I think I was talking to you earlier, Bing, and my neighbor, for instance, is he's not really a liberal, but he's not a conservative. You know what I'm saying? He's like probably what you could say a moderate Democrat.
Yeah, middle of the road.
Right, middle of the road guy. I mean, he has a gun, and you know he will defend himself, and he's retired. He and his wife. And I was over there the other day, and we were sitting out front, and we were chatting. And this is the thing: is we had about five other neighbors around, and some of these people I've lived around 5 years now and never met. So we were having a nice conversation, and they were talking about what do you think about this, you know, banning guns and the Sandy Hook thing. And I said, well, you know, I don't know. I have an AK-47, and I got looked at like I had some kind of a disease. And this man's wife says to me, and they're nice people. I love them to death. She says to me, what do you need that for? And I was stunned. I was like, what do you mean need it? What difference does it make why I need it? I like to target shoot it. You know, I like to have it, and I might even hunt with it. Well, you can't use that for hunting. I'm like, well, who the heck told you that? I mean, you know what I'm saying? The conversation's just – these people are picking up stuff off of TV, and it's just not right. They have no idea what they're talking about, and these people vote, you know,
and the Second Amendment, Rob, is not about hunting. It's
no,
not
I know
about
that.
Hunting. Now, I take my AR-15 out hunting, too, because I can.
Yeah.
It's because
yes.
I can. It is my God-given, freaking inalienable right to have a gun. And I don't care how many damn shots how many bullets I can put in my magazine or not. I don't care.
And, of course, the Second Amendment and the militia is all about the states defending themselves against a tyrannical federal government. That's why that was put in there. I was referring to that
Absolutely.
Earlier. That, you know, I believe the Second Amendment is second for a reason. You have your First Amendment, which is your first rights. You have to be able to speak up against the government. You know, you have to have a freedom of information, like the freedom of the press. You have to have freedom of religion, where everyone can practice their own religion. That's the way they set this up. And then the Second Amendment protects your first rights. Your first and second rights protect everything else. That's what keeps you from having a tyrannical government being able to rise up and take over. You know, and out of you know one one guy telling, you know, another 535 people and then them telling 300 million what they should do. It's not supposed to work that way.
Hey, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rob. Finish up your thought.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I just want to try to stay on time. Can you hold your thought? Let us take this quick hard break, and we'll be right back.
Sure.
Bing, do we got a live read there, brother?
What's that?
Oh, I did.
I don't think we do on the hard break. I can't remember. Let's just go into this and come out of it and get Rob going with back on his thought, okay?
All right.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And good Sunday afternoon to you, princes and princesses of patriotism. I am Michael B. here at Patriot Studios in the big town of Hazlett, Texas, along with my brother, Uncle Bing Fisher from Memphis, Tennessee, at Patriot Studios there. We've got Rob Comfort on doing the Step Right Up segment. He's talking a little bit about the Second Amendment. Rob, go ahead. You were right in the middle of a thought. I'm sorry that I had to interrupt you, but really trying to stay on our schedule. We got to make a little bit of money. So.
You got to have a programming format. You got to have a format, or it just doesn't work. And you guys are doing a great job, so no problem at all. Let me just jump back for a second, though, because I'm a little nervous. It's my first time talking to more than about five people at
once.
Well,
we're all wearing underwear, so just think about that.
That's awesome. But let me jump back to what I was saying. I was saying before when I started out, you know, what can we do? You know, and one thing I think we can do is like when I was talking to my neighbors and when she said something, you know, said to me, you know, what, why do you need that? And I looked over in their driveway and they have an $80,000 Jaguar. And they deserve it. The man worked hard. He's retired. You know, he's also got a Corvette that's in storage and stuff like that. When he went through his midlife crisis there, he bought it and he doesn't want to get rid of it. It's a classic car. And I was like, you know, why do you need an $80,000 car? Or why do you need a Jaguar? Why not drive a Chevy Volt? I mean, you can save the environment, you know? And I kind of wore out my welcome there and I felt that they were a little offended, you know, by me pushing. Cause I mean, I got offended. I get offended when we're talking about my rights and someone asks me why I need it. It's if we start getting into that, why we need something, then, you know, why do we need, you know, big houses? Why don't we all just live in the same kind of house? You know, why do we need air conditioner when we can survive without it? It's not about need. It's about your rights. And this Second Amendment thing, I mean, we have to, somehow or another, we have to form, you know, the way we have the way we talk about this, you know, to other people. And what I like is I saw not too long ago your buddy there out of Texas, Ted Nugent, was on with that Piers Morgan guy, and there was a video floating around. I guess he was in Texas shooting guns at one of your gun ranges there, and Uncle Teddy went after him. You know, he went right up into his grill, and he did it in a classy and a respectful way. I mean, you know, here this guy's going to call you a gun nut, you know what I mean? Or, you know, and refer to you as crazy. If you, where we're at now, this is what bothers me the most. Where we're at now is people who stand up for the Constitution. and freedom and liberty. If you stand up for that, you're now considered the radical. Now, how did we get there? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I just feel that way, that when you stand up for your rights, even out in public or family and friends, you're all of a sudden, oh, my God, don't upset him. He's liable to go off, you know. You're the radical. And I think when we cross that kind of a bridge, when we cross that bridge where the people who stand up and support the freedom and liberty and all of the rights that were given to us by the people, the men who founded this country, when we're the radicals, we crossed a bridge we never should have crossed.
And Robert,
that's a great point, Robert. And can you hang with us for a roundtable a little bit?
Yeah.
Because I got Representative Joe Carr that I like to see Representative Carr from the 48th District here in Tennessee. Mr. Carr, I got a hot mic on you, and how would you respond to something like, you know, somebody like Robert that seems like he's preaching to the choir all the time? He wants to get out there and get involved a little bit more.
Well, I think it's always good to hear when like-minded people share their passion and zeal for not just the Constitution, but the Bill of Rights, and not just what's in those founding documents, but the reason those principles are there. Our rights come from God. They don't come from man. And when we read the Bill of Rights, and whether we're talking about the Second Amendment or the First Amendment or any other Bill of Rights, I think we need to be cognizant of that. These rights come from God, and they're enumerated in the Bill of Rights. And so that's all the founding fathers did. They had the wisdom to understand that essentially everything that's here before us in the Bill of Rights comes from God, and they just put it on paper. And I think when we allow ourselves to have that fundamental idea diluted, we dilute ourselves in believing that, governments are greater than the individual rights that the governments are supposed to enforce and uphold. And that's where we are today, I fear. I fear that the government now is the greater good for anything it proposes. And that's why our individual liberties are so at risk.
Well, Representative Joe, this is Michael down in Texas. Before you get going on the Tennessee rap, Rob, please hang tight because I got some questions for you and something I want to share with you. And we've got our guest we calling in here shortly. But Representative Joe, you may or may not got to hear my rant at the opening. I guess you were probably a bit surprised with our budget vote down here in the Texas legislature down in Austin this past Thursday night. No spending cuts. In fact, a slight increase. At first, a vote to expand Medicaid with all the rhetoric coming out of Austin. Fortunately, there was a second vote after Texas Policy Public Policy Foundation intervened. But that had to be a shock.
Yeah, it was because – well, if I understood you right in your rant right, basically the whole idea of expanding Medicaid was a lot closer than it should have been. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
And I guess that shows you the resilience of the other side and how dug in they are to expanding the role of the federal government.
Even in a state like Texas or Tennessee that is so bright red.
Yeah, exactly. And so it doesn't. You can't take anything for granted. We have to understand that those people who would seek to expand government are those 20 and 30 year bureaucrats who have been in the government for that period of time, and who by expanding the government expand their power base. And the role of government anymore is not to provide the services and protect the liberties of the individual citizen, but it's to expand their power. And every time they do that at the cost of our autonomy, our liberty, and our personal responsibility, and most importantly, our state sovereignty.
Our state sovereignty, yeah, I was going to say. Representative Carr, also another thing, I don't know, I imagine you've seen it, was the Mercantilist Center at George Mason University. Where they came out with the "How Free Is Your State?" Poll, I guess it would be, or report.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh well, Tennessee is fourth.
Oh, I did see that. That's right. It was the most free state. We're third behind North and South Dakota, if that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, North Dakota, South Dakota, Oklahoma, I believe, and then Tennessee is fourth. And
no,
I just want to say,
I think you had it turned around, but that's okay.
We're
going to fight for every spot on that list, okay?
Uncle Bing, I think I'm going to go with Representative Joe.
Third or fourth, here's the important point. Even remember, that's a ranking of how free you are in comparison to your peers. It doesn't mean we're really all that free. Let's not forget that. I mean, we could all be enslaved, and some of us are more enslaved than others, but we're still all enslaved, okay?
Yeah.
So let's not run around with our chest stuck out too much. I think there's a lot of work that we in Tennessee need to do to ensure that the sovereignty of this state is not only defended and promoted, but it's expanded. And that's what we've got to do, and that's what all 50 states got to do. And I want to share something real quick before we move on. There is a new website out there that's absolutely fantastic for promoting the sovereignty of the states, and it's called conservativestates.com. I've gotten acquainted with it recently, and I want to plug it, because as we move forward here in Tennessee and moving the agenda of its sovereignty forward, we're going to be utilizing that particular website quite a bit. And for your listeners out there, go to conservativestates.com, and you'll find a lot of information about how you can help your state legislator become more sovereign in the mold of our founding fathers.
Oh, good deal. Definitely.
I don't have any vested interest in that website. It's just a website that I found that I thought is a great and useful tool for like-minded patriots.
What is that again, Representative Joe?
Conservativestates.com?
Yeah, www.conservativestates.com.
Well, Representative Carr, following up on that, then if you can wrap up what happened in Tennessee. And I tell you what, I came up. I'm going to get up to the borough here probably next weekend, and I'm going to see if I can get those people over at the Slick Pig restaurant to come up with a sandwich for us.
You will not regret
it.
The best
wrap,
smoked
man,
wings in the entire world. As a matter of fact, they ship their wings all over the country, FedEx. It's phenomenal. Essentially, what happened, the movement on the Tennessee General Assembly this week is that the governor recently, and I may be dating myself, but the governor recently said that he was not going to expand Medicaid, which was a huge deal for us. Also, we established through Chairman Jeff Matheny of the GovOps and Chairman Mike Bell and Senate GovOps, we established a joint committee within GovOps that I serve on that looks at the issue of federal programs and legislation through the pyramid, or through the prism of, is it good for the sovereignty of Tennessee? So for the first time ever, we now have a working joint committee that's going to look at legislation and bills through that prism of, does it promote, defend, and the sovereignty of the state? And so that was a big deal. The governor's getting ready to propose his budget. We've seen expanding revenues. We're hoping that we see a continuing decline in the expansion of governance, and maybe we can return some of these revenues back to the people, or at the very least put them in a rainy day fund. So it's been a pretty good week, although quite honestly, you know, the legislature is not going to allow any gun bills to come out, with the notable exception of, I had one gun bill that allowed the arming of teachers who were appropriately trained in our schools. And Chairman Watson and I and in the House have joined forces, and that bill looks like it may actually come out of the Tennessee General Assembly, ready for the governor's signature in about 2 weeks.
How does that look? Does that look promising?
Yeah, it does look promising, because what happened was, you know, the bill that I offered was basically, the bill I proposed was basically, it allowed the local Board of Education at the county level to make the determination as to whether or not they had enough of a risk to feel or to sense that they needed to be arming some of their teachers or faculty. If they made that assessment and they wanted the faculty and teachers to have access to a firearm or to carry a firearm, then the state's involvement was to make sure that there was a minimum standard that every teacher or faculty member had to have with regard to training before they could carry or have access to that firearm or school ground. So we did both of those. We made it permissive, and we put a pretty strict standard in place for somebody to have access to a firearm. So we just didn't want anybody carrying a firearm on school, quite honestly. But that looks promising. We had the governor's senior staff involved, and I feel hopeful that we're going to get that bill out. So that's going to be a good piece of legislation for Second Amendment advocates.
Well, good deal. Is there anything else that's coming up in Tennessee next week, perhaps, or anything that's already been on the slate that us citizens can sit there and hammer?
Because there's one bill in particular that's giving us a lot of trouble. Representative Mike Carter down in Chattanooga in Ottawa has been carrying a bill that disallows the fact for a city to annex your property without you having a voice or a vote in the annexation of your own property. Tennessee is one of three states left in the country. I think Indiana and North Carolina are the other two. But we're one of three states that don't allow a property owner to have a vote as to whether or not his property is annexed. It's basically annexation without representation. And Mike Carter's bill simply says that the city cannot annex your property into the city unless you vote in referendum to determine it to be so. And the Tennessee Municipal League, the cities have been fighting that viciously. This bill is on the Senate floor, and it is in the House Finance Committee. And we, in particular, need Senator Jim Tracy out of Shelbyville to tell us how he's going to vote on the bill. I understand he told me he was undecided, and I've heard from others that he's against the bill, and he sits on that committee as well as some others. So we need the senators and the state reps in their areas to vote for this bill, for Mike Carter.
Oh, good deal. Yeah. So, yeah, let's definitely email our senators, Philip Vallis, because this is, as he said, annexation without representation.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And we're out of what, four states? But was that bill not shelved on moratorium or something out of the finance committee or?
Yeah, it's in finance committee. It's in finance committee in the House, but it's on the floor in the Senate. And what it is you're right. There was the Senate proposed a 26-month moratorium, and I think that's the challenge that some of the senators have is about putting a moratorium on it because of the process that's already that some of the cities are involved in with regard to seizing somebody's property. And my point is then they need to get, if they don't like the Senate bill, then get on the House bill that basically says you don't get to seize the property without, somebody at least having a say-so as to whether or not their property is seized. And it's an excellent bill. It's a bill that's long since passed due. And just so your listeners in Tennessee know this, Tennessee has some of the worst property rights of any state in the country. I mean, I think we're like fourth from the bottom in property rights. So this is a small thing, but it's an important issue, especially for a lot of people in fast growing areas. So I hope people will call their state senator and their state representative and ask them to vote for the bill. If you'll hold on a second, I'll see if I can't get you the bill number. So I'll try to look it up here.
And also, Senator Knightley's doing some great work over there, too.
Yeah, Senator Knightley out of Strawberry Plains does great work. He's got an interesting bill proposed that allows for us to take a closer look at how we choose our U.S. senator. And as most of your listeners probably already know, the U.S. senator currently is elected, but the 17th Amendment the 17th Amendment disallowed for that, but prior to that, the senators were chosen by the General Assembly for the purpose of representing the states, and they don't do that now, he's got an idea about returning that to the General Assemblies to select, which is an interesting discussion we're having.
That would be a discussion that probably would fill up more than 15 minutes that we have, Mr. Carl, but it's something that I would like to discuss because I'm kind of leaning either way. I really don't know. I mean, I'd like to give the states the power back.
Right.
But.
Yeah, Senator Nicely's bill. And let me just say this. The bill that I'm talking about for Representative Carter is sponsored by Beau Watson in the Senate, and it's House Bill number 474. That's why I got that. So you call your state legislator, state senator on. State representative and state senator on House Bill 474. With regard to Nicely's bill, the premise being that if we go back to allowing the state legislator to pick our U.S. senator, you know, does it basically just embolden the good old boys network, which is a legitimate argument. But I'm not sure how it could be any worse than what it is now, where you have multimillionaires and billionaires choosing the candidate anyway through their contributions. And the second thing is that our U.S. senators were originally intended to represent the states in Washington, but now they don't represent the states because they stay up there 20, 30, and 40 years, and they represent themselves in their own interest. I mean, you can hear the rhetoric coming out of Washington, out of the Senate, and they don't move quickly. As a matter of fact, sometimes they don't move at all. So I think something needs to change.
There's arguments I think on both sides of that, but it is an argument to have. It is a discussion
right.
to have.
Absolutely,
it's worthy of having. And
yes,
absolutely.
Senators in D.C. Representative Joe, Senator Cornyn, who's he's a good man, but he's a rhino. I mean, is he he's conservative by other state standards. But this is a man that typically sides with Mitch McConnell, Joe McCain, and the like, whom I have very little respect for. I think the Senate lost a great man when they lost Senator Jim DeMint, but they gained a great man when they got Senator Cruz. But have you noticed, and I'll pose this question to everybody. By the way, the phone number is 718-305-7176. Phone lines are stacking up. Everybody, please hang tight. But have you noticed, whereas prior to January this year, Senator Cornyn, you would always see him up there standing beside Mitch McConnell taking the rhino path, the path of least resistance. That man has been awkwardly quiet since Senator Cruz has come on the stage, and I'm so pleased. I think he knows he is in a hell of a spot. And we're going to start being edgy on Soldiers of Patriotism. I've already talked to Duke about this being – it's time to be edgy. I ain't taking no bullshit no more. I'm fighting. I'm coming out fighting. I'm swinging. And Cornyn has been remarkably quiet. And I think he knows. He can't. I guarantee you there are things that Senator Cruz is doing that make his teeth itch. But he can't say anything because he knows if he does, he's going to get primaried next year.
Right. Well, we've got the same kind of situation with Lamar Alexander. Lamar Alexander, and you can find their rankings. All you got to do is go to Heritage, the Heritage Foundation, or go to Club for Growth, or go to the Madison Project. All of these places, all these think tanks they rank the U.S. senators and the U.S. Congress, and it's a very, very useful tool. And so it'd be well worth your listeners to acquaint themselves about how well their congressman or their U.S. senator is doing. And the Madison Project has a particularly useful ranking tool because they rank it in conjunction with how conservative the people they represent in their district. And, you know, are they more or less conservative by virtue of their voting record than the people that they represent, which is a fascinating way to put it in context. I mean, because if you have a conservative Republican representing a moderate populace, then for conservatives, that's a big up. But if you have a moderate or rhino representing a very conservative district, you know, we're taking a hit. And we just need to make sure that we have the most conservative people we can in Washington. Otherwise, we'll never return the sovereignty back to the states. And that's what we need. We need Washington to return the sovereignty back to the states like it was originally intended 230 years ago.
Well, Representative Carr, we thank you so much for taking extended time with us. I think your time expired, Senator. Oh, I got hopes. Okay, but Representative, I'm on it too, man, because he'll be in my district. But if I don't know, we'll see. But anyways, Representative Carr, man, it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure, and thank you so much. And we got our next guest, Andrew O'Brien, PTSD.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. God bless you, and have a great rest of the weekend.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Bing, before we bring in Andrew, I've already spoken to Andrew. I haven't told him this yet, but he's about to hear it. We missed our soft break. We're 5 minutes on top of the break. Before we bring in Andrew, let's go ahead and take our hard break now. Come back, bring in Andrew, and we'll go from there.
All right, sure will. All right, join our own warrior Catholic, Chris Ricketts, on conservativenationradio.org every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. Chris isn't afraid to wave the banner of Christianity in a world becoming hostile to biblical principles. Actually, former Marines aren't afraid of too much of anything, are they? Join Chris to talk about Christianity, the Holy Bible, and God's plan for mankind's salvation. And he might also explain his plan to teach the Swiss Guards a thing or two. The Warrior Catholic Show with Chris Ricketts, Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
We'll be right back, folks. And we're bringing on our very special guest. You'll hear all about it here in just a second. Give us about 2.5 minutes.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to MyPyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Patriot Studios. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bean and Michael B.
God bless the United States of America, Patriots. It is, let's just say it's the top of the hour. Actually, it's 59 minutes after the top of the last hour, but let's just say it's the top of the hour. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. I am your host, Michael B., here in Patriot Studios in Hazlitt, Texas, along with my brother from another mother at Mementville Patriot Studios, my brother, Uncle Bean Fisher. We've just got through speaking with Rob Comfort, who's hanging on, and he's going to be back with us. So you guys hang tight, because there's more I want from Robert. We just got through hearing from Representative Joe Carr on the Tennessee Wrap. And it is mine and Uncle Bean's honor now to bring in a man we've met about a month or so ago, a brother. A brother who served, a sand soldier, who fought for freedom for other people so that they may know and appreciate the freedoms that we enjoy here in America, a man by the name of Andrew O'Brien. I want to encourage you all to go to wyshproject.org. That's W, that's Whiskey, Yankee, Sierra, Hotel, project.org. And I want you to pull up this website, and I want you to take a look at it with us as we listen to our brother, my brother, who on November 22nd of 2011 attempted suicide while he was still in the Army. His brother suffers with PTSD, folks. That's post-traumatic stress disorder. You all know how I feel about my brothers and sisters, that band of brothers that have served. I never served in war. I served under the greatest president ever in the country's history. We didn't have those problems, with the exception of a little island called Grenada while I was in the 82nd, which I hardly count. Nothing like this gentleman's went through. It's my pleasure. It's my honor. Mine and Bing's, Brother Bing, go ahead, bring him on in here.
Oh, Andrew, welcome aboard, Soldiers of Patriotism.
Thank you.
Brother now, Andrew, you know, I was just telling everybody, you contacted me on Twitter a month or two ago, I can't remember exactly now, and we hit it off immediately. You retweet my stuff, I retweet yours. You're a good man. I appreciate your service. Thank you, by the way, brother. Thank you for your service.
No problem.
You know, I'm not going to try to tell your story because, I'm a 50-year-old pussy. Though I served and jumped out of perfectly good airplanes, I wear my passions on my sleeve, and I can the national anthem can tear me up, and I choke up. So tell us your story. Let our listeners know. I've got a few questions. My basic one is what can we do to help PTSD? You know, I've been working diligently to get the Chris Kyle statue here to Texas, which I've accomplished. It's in the bronzing stage now, but Chris Kyle was killed by a brother who supposedly had PTSD. I guess there's some question about that, but right now I'm not going to question that. I'm just going to go with it. He turned his gun on Chad Littlefield and Chris Kyle. You tried to commit suicide. This is not a small problem. This is a huge problem. Back in Vietnam, not that I served in Vietnam, but I'm of that. I served what's called that Vietnam War era. They called it shell shock. Tell us a little bit about it, brother. Tell us your story. We want to hear about it. What can we do to help?
All right. Well, as a child, I didn't grow up with a very close family. The closest person to me was my brother. And as we got older, my brother ended up joining. He actually was 82nd, too. He was out at Fort Bragg. And whenever I was 19, I went to go visit him, and I saw the family aspect of the military. I saw how close he was with all his buddies, and it just seemed like this perfect family. You know, they fought just like brothers, and they got along like brothers. And so that's when I decided I was going to join. And so later that year, you know, I joined. I was out within 2 weeks of doing my paperwork, and I was just in a rush to get out and start doing that because I saw all the good parts of the military, and the camaraderie, the family aspect of it. And so I go out there, and I start doing my training, and I end up getting based in Hawaii, which is something you'll never hear me complain about. You know, I love that place. And from 2008 to 2009, I deployed to Iraq. And during that time, I saw a few select events that it just scarred my mind. It's permanently there, and it'll never go away. And you know, something that people need to understand is that PTSD is not something you can heal. It's something you can control, but it's not something that you can just make go away. It's not something you get a shot and it's gone. And so I went and I saw these things. I come back and I just started drinking a lot. I thought maybe if I just drink a lot, the memories would go away. When in all reality, all it did was make everything worse. And so about 6 months after I got back, and I've been drinking really hard. I woke up one morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, passed out on some beach out there in Hawaii, and that's when I decided I wanted to get some help. So I went and I saw a psychologist in the Army, And as I started seeing her, they gave me a profile. And the profile is this piece of paper that says, "The soldier can't do this for this reason." On this piece of paper, it said that I couldn't go to shooting ranges. I wasn't comfortable with it. And, you know, this is a big thing about bringing up the Chris Kyle thing. You know, you got to be really careful about giving a veteran a weapon just because you don't know where they are at at that time. And so my psychologist gave me that paper, and I gave it to my first sergeant, who then called me out in front of my whole company and told them everything about my mental issues I was going through. And after that, a couple weeks later, I go back in to see my psychologist, and she calls me a liar. She says she thinks I'm making up the stories and that I'm just trying to get benefits from PTSD. And so since that day...
I'm sorry. Let me just... Andrew, top in front of the company did that?
Yes.
That son of a bitch. He needs to go alligator hunting with me in East Texas.
Well, it is a female that had never been deployed before.
Oh, well, okay. I'm going to bite my tongue. Go ahead.
So then I go and see the psychologist, and she downplays it, thinks I'm lying, thinks I'm just trying to get benefits from PTSD. And so... You know, the psychologist was the first person I opened up to about everything. The biggest thing about PTSD is once you get someone to open up about it, you have to make sure you're the person that they can trust. Because once you break that trust, that breaks them. Because they just, to finally open up about it and then to shoot them down, that's something that pushes them over the edge. And so after that, I stopped seeing a psychologist and I just pushed it down. I just tried to ignore it and... It all ended up bottling up to the point to where in November I decided to take my own life because I was tired of having to handle it on my own, feeling like I was the only one thinking like that, and then it's just everything kind of piled at one time. And so I took a bunch of pills that day, and I took about 4 bottles of pills, and ambulance came, got me, took me to the hospital. They had to pump my stomach. They couldn't get me to wake up. They had to call my family and tell them, you know, I don't know if your son's going to live through the night because we don't know the damage that was done on his kidneys. And, you know, I'm in Hawaii, they're in Dallas. And so I woke up that next morning and just changed my life around.
Brother, I'm not going to lecture you on things you shouldn't do. You're a grown man. But, you know, it occurs to me there's a support network and apparently one that you didn't know about. But let's segue into you having told us your story, which kills my heart, as I'm sure that it does, Brother Beings. And Brother Beings, jump in here anytime.
Yes.
Your project, WYSH Project, is a project to help to not only tell your story, but to help other brothers and sisters. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, it's welcoming home your soldier. So if you remember that, you'll remember the capital letters from it. So,
well, the first thing I'm sitting here thinking, and look, I've never been in combat, but I've got 50 years as you've got 52 years. You are my senior.
Oh, come on, man. You got to keep rubbing it.
You know, we've got Kurt Blackwood waiting online, another great man, Ron Adcox, Fred. We've got Chuck from Alaska. We've got Carl Higby's one of our guys. He served over there with you, brother. Look, I'm going to push for you whatever we can. I want to help on this because being and I, our one of the goals of Soldiers of Patriotism is helping those who have served for, you know, Chris Kyle had a saying, it's the job of those to help those who served. And that's what we're all about here at Soldiers of Patriotism. Tell us a little bit about your project, what you're doing, and how can we help? Look, my phone is always on, Andrew. You live right down the road from me. If I had to take a day off, if you called me and said, "Michael, I need you to come down here and see me," I'd take a day off and I'd drive down to Austin, and I'd come be with you. I'd be on the phone all night with you, as I would with any brother or sister. Tell us a little bit about your project. What are you doing, aside from telling your story, to help PTSD? What can we do? What can our listeners do? People need to take this serious. You know, it's one thing to get shot. You can get shot, and that can be mended. But wounds of the mind are not so easily mended.
That's completely true. And what I'm doing with my project now is, you know, first I started out with just my guide, and then I started out with my public speaking. And now what we've done is I'm getting ready to start a year tour, and I'm going to be traveling with a film crew, and I'm going to be making a documentary. You know, it will show a few of my speeches, but in this documentary, I'm going to focus on interviewing veterans and their family members and professionals that have handled PTSD for a decent amount of time. And the goal is to make this documentary, and at the end of the year, put it all together, and it's going to be donated to families of soldiers who are coming back from war. And now this DVD is going to show, it's going to make the soldiers who come back from war feel normal about how they feel. Because the one thing is, we all are really close when we go out there, but when we come back, we try to shut it off, and we don't want to share our feelings, and, you know, it's just a natural thing for us. And so this DVD kind of opens their mind up to let them know that, you know, they're not the only ones out there having problems, and they're not alone. And the second aspect is, you know, it'll help their families see that, you know, what their soldier is going through is normal, and that other families have to handle it too. And and again, it's also for civilians, just so they can see that what it's like, you know, trying to handle a soldier or trying to take care of a soldier who comes back with these mental wounds.
Well, I'm sure, Andrew, like most everything, and Bing and I, we do this weekly, and we ask folks to sponsor various things, this being one. And if you go to wyshproject.org, you've got a place on there on sponsorship, how you can become a sponsor. And if someone sponsors you, I understand, Bing and I understand how it helps. Explain to our audience that, because we've probably got 400 people that are listening on their iPhone right now and probably can't go to the website and look. If someone sponsors WelcomeYourSoldierHomeProject.org, WYSHproject.org, what are they sponsoring? What are their dollars helping? Let's explain that to the folks.
Okay. The money that comes from sponsorship, that's helping with all of our travel, because, you know, as everybody knows, travel is not free, and it's definitely not cheap. Right now, I still work full-time along with doing this project, and my goal is to do this full-time so I can start my tour. But before I can start my tour, I have to have the backing of sponsors that will help me with it. And, you know, it'll help with plane tickets, gas, travel, all travel expenses. That's what sponsorship will be used for. It's just solely for travel expenses. You know, all the food and everything else that I have to pay for, that'll come out of my pocket for selling the books and everything else. But sponsorship just comes straight. That goes straight into my travel and helping bring a film crew with me and just basically helping me get around so I can complete this documentary.
There's some people, Michael, that are wondering if he's going to get to the North Carolina area. And also, I'd like to know if he's going to be in the Tennessee area sometime.
Actually, both those places are definitely something I'm trying to get to. My biggest thing right now is trying to get a hold of organizations in those different cities. And because I go to the, it's hard to set up an event from all the way from Austin in those cities. So I usually get contacted by local organizations in those cities, and they will help me put together, you know, an event to where I can come speak at that. And so that's another big help, is if anyone knows of an organization that would like to hear me, if they could help me set up an event, I'd definitely make it out there.
Well, we know organizations, don't we, Bing?
Yeah, yes, yes, and we will definitely get this pushed along, won't we? So,
yeah.
But the board is stacked, but you can still call in, Michael, at 718-305-7176 to talk with a roundtable, which will be coming up fairly soon, and also talk with Andrew O'Brien. He's got a very great a story because he turned his life around, and that's what's I think, Andrew, isn't that the message that you want to portray to people, that you can deal with this, that you can turn your life around, that you're not alone?
Yes, it definitely is. I want to be like a role model. I want to be someone that they look at and see that it's not permanent. It's not something that's going to have to affect their entire life.
Well, we've got a lot of look, Andrew, the studio board is stacked. We've got callers from all over the country, as far west as Alaska, as far east as the eastern seaboard, that want to get in here and speak to you, as well as Rob Comfort, who is still on hold. So hang tight, Rob. Bing, I say let's go ahead and do our soft break, and then come back in, and let's go ahead and open up the round table early today so that we can discuss this with Andrew. Let our folks speak with Andrew or Rob, whomever, or both, whomever they wish to choose to speak with. And just, you know, we're famous for our round table, Andrew. That's why we have, you know, 300 to 500 listeners a week. They like listening to the round table. We have some great patriots that like to come on board, like Kurt Blackwood and Ron Adcox and the like. So let's do this real quick, Bing, and then come back out of that and open up the mics.
Oh, definitely will, Michael. The leftist media would like conservatives like us to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness, and traditional Americans like us. But don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberal polls. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as we kind of affectionately call it, or home. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is a place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the solution and the revolution, the conservative traditional American revolution. All on traditionalamericanmovement.com.
And we'll be back.
We are a liberal free zone.
That's right. That's most important, brother. We'll be back in about 2.5 minutes, folks. Stand tight.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the3rdlantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Hig and Resch sent you. thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text. Oh, there's another one. Wow. Busy, busy me. So, anyway...
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. My friends keep commenting on my comment. Oh, there's another one. So many comments on my comment.
Oh, I can't wait to watch TV tonight. Playoffs!
Hey, guys, check out my new video game. Pew, pew.
Wait, Mom, what?
Huh?
What?
Hold on.
What'd
you
say? Wait a second, huh?
This weekend,
unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And it is Sunday, April the 7th, folks. We have on with us a great patriot, Andrew O'Brien, who has the WYSHproject.org. That's Whiskey Yankee Sierra Hotel Project.org. That stands for WelcomeYourSoldierHomeProject.org. He's talking to us today about his attempted suicide and surviving that because of suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Folks, we've sent a lot of our sons and daughters, our brothers, our sisters, our mothers and our fathers into two theaters of war. Many of them have dealt with that the best that they could, but they've come back with what us old timers called shell shock. It's called PTSD now. And Andrew's here talking about it with us today, as well as Rob Comfort, who started off the show with Second Amendment rights. And I'm going to tie these together, actually, Rob and Andrew. I've opened up, Rob, I'm opening up your mic now. I want to tie the two of you together. And the reason I want to tie the two of you together is I got an email this morning. I was prepping for the show, Patriots, and I had an email from David Schmeckler in Connecticut. I'm going to drop his link, his story, into the chat room here in just a minute. A veteran, a brother of ours, Andrew, who served over there with you, that have suffered some back injury, called the VA hospital, wanted to get pain management for his back injury, which I had a back injury from when I served. Only mine was because I used to ride bulls, and I was on the Army rodeo team and was preparing for a rodeo, and I covered my bull. And you'd think a paratrooper would know how to hit the ground, but I just didn't come off the bull right, and I broke my lower fourth vertebrae and compressed my L4 and my L5 about 30 or 40%. I still walk. I'm not confined to a wheelchair, but in inclement weather, it's a pain in the ass, and it requires some pain management. I never go through the VA. We now know that the VA is getting a little sticky on the Obamacare thing, where they're asking personal information about what firearms you own. And this particular brother, David Schmeckler, was forced to undergo a psychiatric evaluation for back pain. Now, go figure. No sooner did he get finished, the police department in his township there in Connecticut was calling him, showed up at his front door, commandeered or confiscated his weapon permits. We've got a problem, folks. We've got a problem. So I wanted, because Rob, you were talking about the Second Amendment, and Andrew, you've had the problems that you've had, and I don't know if you've dealt with the VA hospital or not. I thought this, aside from each of you talking about what you were talking about and taking questions from the roundtable, this would be a good way to tie that in, because we're going to have David Schmeckler on probably next week. I've got to tidy that up. But there's some scary... you guys know me. I've got to tie politics in everything, Andrew, and I know that yours is not about politics, and I take very seriously, and I love you, my brother, and I'm here for you, but we are also a political show, and with what you're going through, you very well, if you own guns, could be in that same predicament. So anyway, Andrew, go ahead, finish your thought real quick. Let's bring Rob in, and then Bing, let's open up some phones and get Danny and Kurt and Ron and Fred and all of our brothers in here. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Bing, I'm going to step away from the mic for just a second, so go ahead and take it, brother.
Roger that. Go ahead, Andrew. If you can just – for one thing, 22 veterans and one soldier commit suicide every day.
Yeah, that number is actually an estimate. They're not considering risky behavior such as dangerous driving, reckless driving, and so a lot of the suicides are actually still under investigation, but that is a rough estimate, which is the highest record in our military history.
That's insane. It is absolutely insane. And you're here to try to put a stop to that, which is a noble, very noble cause, sir.
Yes, and you'd be amazed at how many veterans, I mean, since I've started this, I've had about 10 veterans contact me and tell me that they've either done the exact same thing I did with the pills, or they, sat in their room at night and put a gun to their head and, considered pulling the trigger. I mean, a lot of veterans think about it, and a lot of them actually do it.
Well, my buddy Rob Comfort here from Florida, he's got a question for you. He asked me during the break to ask you, but I figured he's here. So, Rob, why don't you go ahead and ask, Andrew?
Oh, first off, Andrew, thank you for your service, sir.
Not a problem. Thank you.
All right. I was looking at your website, and during the break, I just asked Bing if I'm going to pass this around, I'm going to post it as much as I can, so you can try to get you some sponsors and some people help you out there. And I was wondering if someone saw this and needed help, thought they might need help or weren't sure. I didn't see a link on here to get help. Could they just contact you? Maybe you could put them in touch with somebody who can help them out if they didn't know how to get started or whatever.
Yeah, like a hotline or something.
Well, yeah, there's the Veteran Crisis Line, which I will be putting that on the website soon. But as far as, I'd like them to contact me personally just because I don't want people to feel like what I'm doing is just for the public and media. And, what I'm doing is actually for the veterans too. And so,
I'm talking to veterans that may have the same problem.
Right. And so what I do is I have them contact me, and I put them in contact with a veterans advocate organization in their area, because I've contacted quite a few of those. And, I investigate them first to make sure it's a legitimate organization. And, but I get them in contact with them because those are the best support groups out there. You don't feel crazy. You don't feel like someone's giving you sympathy with these guys. It's just other guys who are going through the same thing you're going through. And, I've actually gotten to interact with a lot of these organizations, and they do great things. And so I always try to get them in contact with their local organization.
Andrew, is there a central number, or are these guys spread out through all the individual states? I would assume the latter, right?
Right. The number to the Veteran Crisis Line, I can't remember that right now. I know it's really simple. And then, my phone number is actually on the website as well, my personal phone number.
Oh, well, that's fantastic, man. So somebody could sit there if they're actually having some kind of issues, or if they have a friend. I think that's what Robert is trying to allude to, is that if you might know somebody that's going through an issue like that. I mean, let me ask you that. How would you deal with that? How would you get, because obviously if they're going through an issue and you see it, we've had, shootings and so on, that people maybe have seen some inklings of stuff that's going on. Is there like a way to get a hold of somebody that maybe can contact them, or what would be the best way for somebody to go about that as a third party kind of thing?
The best way to go about I ask them to contact me. I have a lot of moms that call me and email me, and they ask me a lot of questions, and I respond to every question I'm asked. There's not one that I won't respond to. And, as it gets busier, it may take a little more time, but I do get back to everybody that emails me. And so I ask them to explain the situation to me, and then I give them my best advice, from my experiences. Because, not only do I have my own experience, but my brother, who is 82nd Airborne Infantry, he deployed to Afghanistan for 15 months. All my friends are veterans. So I've seen the different ways that different people handle it. Not one person handles it the exact same way. And so, with the way I've been able to observe all my friends and myself, as I like them to give me a description of what's happening, and I give them the best option in my own opinion of what they could do.
Well, as you said, that mothers and fathers and parents and grandparents and so on probably would be a very good third party type of contact. At least, you contact them and say, look, I know your son, we hang out together, and there's something, or your daughter, or whatever, and there's something going on,
Oh yeah. Because that family, that's their support group. That's who's with them all the time. And so, they're actually the key to everything, in my opinion. I think that the family is it's who us veterans end up relying on. And I got better because of my brother, because I could open up and talk to my brother, and we could, he helped me through a lot of things.
Andrew, I'm going to go ahead and open up the rest of these lines here. I got Danny Schaus over here. Danny?
Yes, sir?
Hello? How you doing there on a Sunday?
All right. I'd like to thank him for his service. And apologize that our government isn't doing more for the veterans. And on the gun control, the best way I found to convert somebody is take them shooting. And our gun club will have various shoots over the year and invite 9 members to come out and learn about guns and shooting. And we even have BB guns there for little kids. And,
well, that was what kind of got Chris Kyle in a jam, though, wasn't it?
Well, earlier the guy was talking about his neighbors that thought it was weird he had an AK-47.
I think he's talking about ways to encourage people, you know, to inform them better about guns.
On the gun control issue?
That's great. I mean, the thing that I was saying is we – instead of trying to reach, I know people, you know, like we're preaching to the choir, you know, talk to your neighbors and family, and when they confront you about it and talk about how terrible guns are, take them out shooting. That's a great idea. You know,
yeah.
Andrew,
just take them out and show them what it's like.
Andrew, let me ask you a question. Danny, I'm sorry, and real quickly, we've got everybody's mics are opened up for the last 30 minutes of the show, and being. I know that I'm going to go to Huntsville for this. Duke's not going to like it, but we're going to forego the hard break and the soft break in 15 minutes. We've got about 25 minutes left before we end the show. So I want to use all 25 minutes to the best that we can. So just you and I are making a command decision. We're foregoing hard break and soft break. But I've got everybody's mics open. So if you can be easy on the keyboard, we'd appreciate it. Andrew, you know, look, I'm no professional counselor, but I'm a 50-year-old man. I didn't serve in any war. But I just, you know, sometimes there's things, let me just put this in a personal perspective. There's things that I don't want to speak to my wife about or my mom or my grandfather. But it would be nice if there was a third person that maybe I didn't really know that I could talk to help help me out of a situation where I'm having some crazy thoughts. Is that a good thing, a bad thing? Does this need to be left to professionals? Or can other veterans step up, whether they've been in war or not, and say, look, here's my phone number. If you need to speak to somebody, if you're having some crazy freaking thoughts in your head, give me a call. I don't care what time of night it is. I'll sit up with you and we'll chat. Is that the wrong thing to do? You tell me.
No, I think that's a great thing to do. You know, third person is sometimes it's the best way to go because obviously third person, you're not worried about them judging you. It's not someone close to you, so it's not like you care too much about what they think about you. And so I always try to push veterans to talk to other veterans. Now, counselors are great. You know, maybe my experience was just mine. I'm not going to say that counselors are bad because a lot of them are actually, they do great things. But sometimes it's just better because when you go see a counselor, you feel a little awkward. You feel a little weird about it. But when you talk to a fellow veteran, whether he deployed or not, you know, we all signed that contract. We all raised our right hand. We all sold our life to the government for a few years. I think that that's the best people for a veteran to open up to are other veterans because they understand a little more and they're a lot less judgmental.
Absolutely. Well, Andrew, sit tight. Let's bring in some. Danny had started. Danny, did you want to wrap up? And we still have Rob Comfort on with us who was talking about the Second Amendment. And Rob, did you catch the what I was talking about? David Schmeckler up in Connecticut. And it really ties in, I mean, unfortunately, it ties in well with Andrew. Now Rob does not suffer with PTSD. He was just simply suffering with back pain, and the VA made him go to see a psychiatrist and ended up confiscating his weapons and his permits. What do you think about that, Rob?
It's insane. It's, you know, it's... It's the same thing, you know, when the president mentioned that he was going to do something like this, you know, for mental health requirements and stuff like that, and he was, here's the deal, is who's going to say who's not suitable to own a firearm, and who's going to say who is? Is it going to be him and his people? Because, you know, according to them, anybody who's, you know, swears by freedom and liberty and the Constitution is an extremist.
Well, absolutely.
I mean, by their own admission.
And Andrew, I kind of want your input on this, because, Andrew, you'd be the last person who I would want to deny their Second Amendment rights. However, that being said, being in the situation you've been in, what do we do about this? Because I think probably we do need to take a look at people's mental health issues when it comes to the second, you know, when it comes to the right to keep and bear arms. What are your thoughts on this, Andrew? Help us understand, because I want to understand this. I don't want to deny you your second rights, my brother. I don't think you're a danger to society. But you may not be the same, whereas you may not be a danger, apparently Mr. Root was in the case of Chris Kyle and Chad Littlefield.
Right, and I think it's a very edgy topic. It can go either way, but first of all, I think that's a bunch of crap about the VA taking away his weapon. Something that people don't understand is that, yes, some veterans do have a little more extreme PTSD than others, but you, taking away a veteran's weapon is taking away his comfort. That is what makes us comfortable. You know, it's having that gun under your pillow or under your bed or in your drawer. That's our comfort. So taking away that weapon is taking away our defense mechanism, and it's taking away I don't agree with it at all. You know, the fact that he just went in for one psych therapy or whatever, and they decided to take his weapon away, I don't think that you can realize that someone's a danger in one session unless they go around saying anything about homicidal thoughts or suicidal thoughts. So it's like, I agree they should take it away if they talk about homicidal or suicidal thoughts that seem realistic. But if he just talks about nightmares or dreams or things he saw out there, you can't just take away his weapon. That's taking away the right that we all defended.
I would have to agree with you.
That is a freedom. It's not, we're talking about an inanimate object, okay? That's one of the only inanimate objects in a Bill of Rights that is actually a God-given freedom. It's a right. And that's why I think that we need to start making the narrative a little bit different, you know. Now, it's not just a gun, okay? That is a person, and in some cases, that's a person's livelihood. In some cases, that's a person's tool to get a job done. And we're talking about a right.
Well, Brother Bing, let's bring in, I'd like to bring in first the voice of reason to everything. A man who I look to as not only someone I respect, but that brings a lot of historical facts and, just a good voice of reason. I'd like to bring in here Brother Kurt Blackwood to jump in on this. Brother Kurt.
Michael, your verbal flowers are greatly appreciated, brother, but unnecessary. Andrew, my young friend. My hat's off to you. My heart goes out to you. God bless you. Thank you for your service. If there's ever anything I could do, Bing knows how to find me, okay?
Thank you.
And that goes for anyone who winds up in the same boat as you are. And I'm not a counselor. I can't offer you psychological advice because I've never been where you were. I think the only thing I can do is be your friend, and that I will be if I can. And what I would like to do, I thought somebody said Higg was on here. If Higg's on the line, I'd like you to get him on. Get a brother warrior here to talk to Andrew, and you take care of yourself, Andrew.
Thank you.
Well, Kurt, perhaps you can get him to speak at a meeting up there somewhere. That would be great.
That's a possibility. Where are you located, Andrew?
I'm in Austin, Texas.
Oh, okay. All right.
He said he's going to be making his way over here through Tennessee and so on, North Carolina perhaps. So maybe we can get him.
Okay. Keep in touch with Bing about when you see you're going to be in the area. Give me as much advance notice on that as you can, and we'll see where we can line up, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All
and
right.
Andrew,
take
you,
care
you
yourself.
Know how to get a hold of me anytime. And look, I freely give my phone number. I post it all over the place. I'll tell it on the air. I don't care. Because if I don't want to take the phone call, I won't take it. My phone number is 817-812-6965. Anybody can call me anytime. If it's a phone number, if it's a phone I see coming in, I think I need to take. It doesn't matter what time it is during the day. I'll take the phone call. So, but Kurt asked a good question, Andrew. Sometimes just having a friend, I think, is all that's really needed. Is that correct?
That's very true. Because when you the thing about getting out of the Army is everybody goes separate ways. You know, all your buddies, like all my buddies have families now or wives and children and, you know, I'm still single with none of that, and so they all become distracted with their own lives.
How old are you, Andrew, by the way?
24.
Dude, I got a 28-year-old daughter that lives down there. Who's single, by the way? I'm joshing you, my brother. Let's bring in Ron Adcox here. We've got Rob Comfort on, who's been talking to us about the Second Amendment, as well as Andrew O'Brien, who is a PTSD sufferer who has survived, fortunately, thank God, survived a suicide attempt, and has now found a mission in life to help the others of our band of brothers and sisters who suffer with this horrible affliction. Ron, what have you for either Ron or for Andrew? Or do you have something for
I'd like
both
to say hey
them?
To Rob. I've never spoken to him, but we've chatted some. But the but Andrew, I sure appreciate your service. I'm in awe of anybody that serves. I tried, but I wasn't able to pass the physical to get over there. But I'm just standing in awe of people that have, and I always will be a friend to any serviceman that needs a hand. I'm there. But I'd like to hear, like Kurt said, I'd like to hear what Carl had to say to Andrew. I believe Carl has got a good take on what's going on.
And I think,
but I appreciate your service.
That perhaps Ron will be a show here. So
yeah, I'm going to let Carl know that he needs to get Andrew booked for his show. Carl's not with us today, but that would be a good show. I think you and Kurt are both right. Ron, let me ask you, what do you think about this soldier up in this veteran up in Connecticut
that's crazy. That is totally out of sight. There's no way that, you know, if you read the story, you got his story a little bit wrong, I think. He didn't go originally to a psychiatrist. They told him to and he said no.
Yeah, absolutely.
He said no, I'm not going to a psychiatrist because my back's hurting. And they called the law on him and had him sitting there waiting on him and took everything. I mean, this is crazy. This is Gestapo brown shirt kind of crap that went on back in the 30s and the 40s.
Rob, what about that, Rob? I mean, Ron's absolutely correct. I mean, and the VA is doing this. I just got a letter from a colonel that's in the Marines. It was posted on Facebook. I don't have time to dig it up right now, but it's very interesting. He goes to see this young doctor, and he tells the whole story, and she opens up wanting to know what type of assault weapons he has. And he says, well, I've got this antique Revolutionary War musket. And you got to read it. It's hysterical. But the point, and this is true, I snopes it. This is a true story. The VA is now asking folks, and I'll be damned if I ever go step foot back into another VA hospital. And they're breaking the law by doing it. They're not supposed to be asking this, but they're doing it.
And it's going to be part of Obamacare. Don't that make you happy?
It's more insidious than that. If you guys listen to the president when he was talking about his executive order he wants to pass on these mental health checks that they want to give people. If you're depressed, if you've been diagnosed with clinical depression, your doctor's supposed to report you.
Hell yeah.
Even if you're just a citizen. I mean, this is crazy. What's going on now?
Yes, it can't be allowed.
See, this transcends just the not just the military. This also involves regular people.
Yeah.
Because
everybody.
It will. When they get into the HIPAA laws and so on, where they can sit there and the doctor can say, hey, this guy's on a certain medication that he's being treated for anxiety or whatever it might be. It might be, in this case, it was a back problem, okay? And the next thing you know, you got your freedoms. You got your Second Amendment taken away. Who knows? Well, you probably got your First Amendment, Fifth Amendment. Who knows where this stops? And it has to stop.
You know what? Once they get their hooks into the doctor, once they make this like a requirement, you know, that the doctor needs to, if he fails to report you, he can be fined and be punished for it if the person commits a crime. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's making everybody.
Am I hot?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead, Ron.
No, this is Chuck.
Or Chuck, go ahead, Chuck. Yeah, you're hot.
What we have here is tyranny, and it's various manifest forms. Fighting the Obamacare regulation that requires doctors to report that you are psychologically unstable. No.
Yeah, if you're taking depression medication.
That is a symptom
yeah.
of the disease, which is the disease's tyranny. So, to anybody that has to, you know, go see a government psychiatrist or any psychiatrist under government decree, should never admit that they have weapons of any kind.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, not
what you're
going to
end up doing is
hiding you another dart gun. I don't know what you're talking about. And we can defeat this.
Well, can we,
yeah, that's what.
I mean, I'm sorry, Rob and Andrew, but can we really defeat this? I mean, I'm beginning to lose faith. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop fighting, Chuck, but I really think. Look, Rush Limbaugh just said last week America's dying with the jobs report of 88,000 jobs. I mean, and he was just talking in terms of jobs, but let's expound on that. I mean,
well,
this country's dying. We're seeing the death of our democracy.
There are some people who believe that the republic is dead. And I beg of you, please, to never use the term democracy in referring to my country.
Well, I should have said republic. You're absolutely
say, yeah.
Representative of the republic.
You know what I mean?
Constitutional republic.
It's dying. I think we're seeing the death of our republic.
I'm with you,
Michael, and I know exactly what you're saying. I'm wondering, can we win this? Because I heard this same type of talk of, you know, that we're hearing now that, oh, this gun bill is dead. Oh, it'll never get out of the Senate. I hear all your guys from Texas, like I said, on that show, and, you know, Kevin Brady and Ted Poe and Lamar Smith all talking about, oh, it'll never get through the House. Well, you know, is that going to stop it? I mean, look at what happened with Obamacare. People said it wouldn't happen. Then they get it passed. Then they said, well, it'll never stand up to the Constitution because we have all this stuff in here. And even though they didn't sell it as a tax, we still had our solid conservative Chief Justice side with the liberals.
Well, he told them how it was constitutional by telling them it could be a tax.
I wonder if any of this
stuff.
That's
the shame part about it.
Well, when I'm elected president, I will flat out refuse to enforce it. Congress can do what they want to. The courts can do what they want to. But as the executive, I don't. I have my choice of what to enforce or not to enforce.
Well, I say Chuck the president.
Well, you know what? I got something. Let me touch on something. I want to run something by you guys, all you guys. And I got this alert from the NAGR, and you guys probably got it if you're a member, if you've signed up for their alerts, and it's signed to sign a petition to try to stop S-649, which is, I guess, a Senate bill. And both parties in Washington are agreeing on this, and they've also got there's backroom talk. The NRA is also on board on this thing. And this bill is being sold supposedly to stop gun trafficking, okay? But the legislation would dramatically ramp up penalties on Americans who sell firearms to, quote, prohibited citizens if the seller, quote, should have known, okay? Now, the legal definition of both those phrases is so vague that the ATF's dream come true. And what it is it's a scheme designed to get gun owners to start screaming for a national gun registry, because ultimately the only way you'll be able to protect yourself from the ATF goons is to get prior federal approval for every gun transfer. What this is it's a backdoor way they can push. It allows our guys and the NRA to sign on to some type of gun control, which they can say, see, we want to help out the, you know, and try to stop the gun violence too. But yeah, when this happens,
there's a way for the citizen to get around that. Okay?
The average citizen.
The average citizen, you and me. There's a way for us to get around that.
How's that?
My gun was stolen.
Yeah.
Well,
okay? Or I sold it to John Smith. I know I've been practicing that line myself.
Or I sold it to Barack Obama.
We're quickly running out of time here, and I need to bring on our program director, Duke Brooks. But what I have to say to National Gun Registry is pooey. I'm all for a quick background check. Do I have any warrants out against me? If not, leave me the hell alone and delete my information and let me buy my weapon.
How is that under the Second Amendment in any way, shape, or form?
Well, you're absolutely right. It's not. And I mean, I guess I shouldn't even be willing to compromise with it. But, this is a topic we're going to have to talk about perhaps next week, Chuck. And I'm, Bing and I are certainly willing to do it. Look, as far as I'm really truly concerned, the Second Amendment is my right to carry. But we are running out of time, and we do need to bring in Duke here real quick, and then we need to wrap up and give Rob and Andrew both a few closing minutes. Guys, thanks for joining us. Hang tight. I'm sorry I'm not going to be able to give you guys closing thoughts this week. We've run out of time. I think we're going to have to expand 3 hours. Let's go ahead and bring in our program director, who I'm sure is fuming right now.
I got his library right here. I was just waiting for you to shut up, Michael.
Mintac to Duke Atreides. I see plans within plans. What's going on, Duke?
The Bene Gesserit witch must leave. Okay. What's going on, Michael? Hey, Bing, how are you guys today?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. Michael, we probably ought to note that you and I both love the David Lynch film called Dune, and that's where some of that crosstalk comes from. Now, tomorrow night on Radio Free America, which is going to roll out at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, that's because tomorrow is the second Monday in the month, and I have Delaware State Republican Party business to do tomorrow night, so I'll be 2 hours late. But tomorrow night, we're going to be talking about Korea. We're going to talk a little bit about the Korean War. If you are a Korean War veteran, I very much want to hear from you tomorrow night. And if you're not, that's okay too, but we are going to be talking about the Korean situation. Right now, the South Koreans are saying that they no longer think that the North is just blustering. So the South Koreans are worried. The North is ratcheting up their propaganda machine. So far, the Northerners have not moved any troops into a militarily recognizable, deployable configuration. but it is still a very, very, very tense situation over there. And I'm going to try to get my friend Sylvia Jung, who is from Korea, lives in Baltimore, to join us on the phone and speak to us a little bit about what the Korean people are thinking right now. So that'll be Radio Free America tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, right here on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
And Duke Atreides Brooks, I want to thank you for calling in. You're going to awaken all of the sleepers tomorrow. Is that correct, brother?
You are Usul Paul Muad'Dib. That's correct.
That I would be. I am Muad'Dib. Thanks, brother. Hang
more.
Tight. We're going to close up. We're going to close up this show. Rob, go ahead. Give us about a 30, 45-second closing thoughts. Andrew, you're on deck, and then we're going to close this show out.
All right. Thanks, Michael. I just want to remind everybody to try to look into that bill, that House or that Senate bill, S-649. It's S-dot-ERD-649. Look into that and read it for yourself. They're voting on it next week. If you get a chance to call Washington and you're into that kind of thing, please do it. If you like your guns, because this looks like a backdoor way to get to a national gun registry, and it's something we don't want, because after that comes confiscation.
Absolutely. And as Hitler
Definitely.
So fondly was used to saying, I'll have to paraphrase. In fact, Rob, perhaps you could correct me on this, but Hitler used to say something about something to the effect of the way you control your population is by taking away their guns.
Yeah, you make them think that it's for their own good, and they'll willingly give them up.
Absolutely, the sheeple.
Yep, you make them think you're doing them a favor, and that everything will be great if I just had all the guns and you guys were, you know, would be protected by me. Basically, that's how it goes, and it doesn't work. It never
Absolutely.
Does.
Absolutely.
The elitists want theirs, but they don't want us to have ours. So. And they
Rob,
know what why. So.
Thanks for joining
yes,
us, brother. We look forward to
Thank
having you,
you
back on the show. Andrew, I'd like to give you a minute and a half to wrap up. I want to thank you on behalf of Bing and I and all of our listeners and Conservative Nation Radio for joining us and telling your story today, my brother. You've got my phone number, 817-812-6965. You call me anytime. I'm here for you. Conservative Nation Radio is here for you. Soldiers of Patriotism is here for you, as well as everybody that was on this roundtable tonight. These are good men, and we've got a lot of good men and women that listen to this show, and we're in your corner, Andrew. So go ahead and give us your closing thoughts.
Well, I wanted to thank y'all for having me out on the show tonight. I really appreciate it. You know, I'm always trying to find a way to spread the message some more, and definitely love hearing all the support I'm getting. A big thing that I want everybody to know that's listening to this is if you know anyone who is interested in having me come out and talk, you know, please have them contact me. I'm really trying to get everything set up. I have New Orleans, Los Angeles, and Iowa in the future, and definitely looking to add some more states to that list. And, don't forget that, you know, 22 veterans and one soldier a day take their own lives, and this is the highest military record. So let's not make it a taboo anymore, and let's make sure to make soldiers feel okay that they can talk about the way they feel.
I want you to reiterate that statistic one more time, folks, and I want you to perk up and listen. This is how many folks that served us take their life a day. That number one more time, Andrew.
It's 22 veterans a day and one active duty soldier a day. That's 682 people a day in a month. I'm sorry, 682 people a month.
22 veterans a day, patriots. One active duty soldier a day. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. Brother Bing, we're at the end of our show here. We're going to have to go into record mode just so I can end this show. I want folks to please go to
wishproject.org.
Well, yes, that one too, and drockcountry.com, and purchase his album The Road Ain't Long, because we're going to end with this song right here. Talk to you later. We'll see you on Trad Am. I love this country. God bless America. We love you all.
Can I get a hallelujah? Kept me out of the hands of the law. Ooh, yeah. Mama brought the Bible. Daddy rung the bell. Mama set the table. Daddy rung the bell. The preacher did his best to show me the light. But Daddy was the one that kept me walking the line. Mama sang the gospel. Daddy drove it home. Mama was an angel. Between them.